This is Solidarity Breakfast with Tabea, Annie and Anila. And in the studio, we're joined by Spike and Kelly from the Homeless Persons Union. Hello, guys.
Good morning.
Hey, how you going?
Yeah, and one of the things that's important for us to realise is that next Tuesday at, if you're really keen, 4:30 is some tunes and five are speeches, part of the Big Lean at the Town Hall, Melbourne Town Hall. Can you give our listeners a little bit of a background to why this is such an important event?
Okay.
Looking at you, Spike.
Why is it's an important event because the City of Melbourne has implemented a program, what they're calling a community safety officer program that is incredibly punitive and oppressive, and they're using quasi-military detail. Initially, it was to protect their bylaws officers in doing their work, like when they're waking people up and throwing people's stuff away. So when bylaws officers were doing their work, then they said it was to connect homeless people to services. Now they're saying it's to enhance public safety and to deter antisocial behaviour. So it's moved over to... And now Kelly said something earlier about empathy.
They're calling it... It's about amenity.
I thought he said...
And they're trained in quote-unquote empathy.
So, I mean, it's not funny. I shouldn't laugh. But I guess you laugh because... The ridiculous nature of this, the impact that it's having on people's lives and the impact and their ability to enjoy public space as a human right, and something that we should be really angry about. And so the Big Lean is about bringing people together to show their solidarity to oppose the criminalization of our homeless community, because they're pushing people out of the CBD, and they're also
they're also redefining community. Who are part of the community?
Right. That's right.
A question I have about this is that I think, you know, a lot of people who've never experienced homelessness might think, well, why does it matter where you end up? You know, you're living on the street. Why does it matter if you can't be in that area of the city that you're usually in? And I think it would be helpful to talk a little bit about the fact that there are communities and there are homes, in a sense, on the street, and it matters that people get to stay where they want to stay.
That's you're so right. Prior to COVID, and at the inception of the union, the community of homeless, of unhoused people in the CBD was quite large. They were supporting each other. They were sharing food. Some people were writing poetry. They were collecting sandwiches from the shops. The people they were really organised. They were collecting food that wasn't being used and sharing it amongst themselves in the city square, planning get-togethers. Like, it was a genuine community. Over time, that's slowly dwindled because of the attack on their rights by different levels of security, PSOs, bylaws officers, now CSOs, and they've been pushing people out through exclusion orders and making it difficult to survive.
One of the things I find really concerning about this is that surely this is a safety issue as well. Like, you were talking about people, I think before we went on air, we were having a chat about the fact that some of these people are being moved on at, you know, 7 p.m. at night after dark, being told that they need to either have their stuff removed, find a new place to go. That's an incredibly high risk position to put someone in the middle of the night, to go and find a safe place to sleep for the night.
Yeah, and one of the recordings we're going to play, if that's okay, on the show in the next half hour is a young woman we spoke to just the other day at a breakfast in town, and she was telling us a story of how, you know, women, she feels it as a woman especially, getting moved out of the CBD, they feel safer there. There's more lighting, there's more cameras, there's more people around. So it's actually putting them into danger by moving them into other municipalities where there's less of those things around.
And sorry, just quick, just as human beings, we want to feel affinity with other people. You know, we don't. No one wants to live. I mean, very few people, unless there's times when we want to be by ourselves. But we're generally social beings, and we do feel a need to interact with others.
Let's listen to the first of your vox pop with some of the people that are actually being affected by this system that the Melbourne City Council is putting forward.
Women on the street are basically strong. A friend of mine just lost her house. She's got a six-month-old child and she was staying in the CBD near the Big W. The security guard walked up, gave her a notice to leave the CBD area. She's not allowed in to get food, nothing, can't even come in servos. She basically has to go smelly. She can't even come in to get, like, breakfast. The security guard took her phone, her wallet, everything off her. She's not allowed 200 metres in the CBD because she's had a pram and two trolleys and having a child on the street. I've had like a couple of like incidents with them. Like when I first come back to Melbourne, I was on the street and I only had like two suitcases with me and I got kicked out of the CBD area because I've had two suitcases. And like they've said to me, I'm not allowed to have any suitcases, no backpacks, nothing. Yeah, and gave me a notice to leave the CBD area. And like I've asked them for like the security card to make sure it is correct. And like them getting, how they're acting and how they treat women and making women go from the CBD where there's more facilities to St Kilda where there's nothing. Like, it's basically unfair. More cameras for the women, and there's more, like, protection. Like, the Melbourne East Police Station's open 24/7, and St Kilda Police Station, Collingwood's not 24 hours. My cousin, who was raped and bashed on Melbourne Central Station, she was raped and bashed there. And she got moved to St Kilda and she's no longer around no more. Because she got moved from Melbourne Central, like the CBD area, to St Kilda, and a week after she got moved, she got killed. Like, all homeless should have their rights too. Like, it's not their fault that they're homeless. The council needs to basically do more. There's not enough homeless shelters for anyone to basically go to. Like, I basically found all the supports of mine. Like, there was domestic violence and plus other reasons why I ended up on the street, like sexual assault. That's what, like, these security guards need to realise, and the council, what actually causes women to go, like, missing or self-harming, because they don't understand what us women...
One of the things that's really important for people to realise isn't just that the Melbourne City Council is on this trajectory. There are several councils around Melbourne that are taking the same approach. Can you talk to that?
Windham, City of Melbourne. City of Port Phillip's just ushered in their heinous bylaw change Wednesday evening. And I think it's City of Yarra is geared up to do the same in the next month or two. So we'll be preparing for that as well. They want to change their bylaw. At the moment, they consider people that are homeless as a class of people in the community that are exempt from the camping laws, which mean you can't be camping in the municipality, and people that are homeless are exempt from that. They want to change that so that it will be left to the discretion of the local law officer. And that's just not good enough.
It isn't. And it's, I guess it's really important to be able to see it as a manifestation of what's happening on a geopolitical level, like the extreme right. It's a reactionary right-wing wave of sort of right-wing sort of politics that's sweeping through local government, scapegoating people experiencing poverty for the situation they're in. Rather than targeting systemic failure, they're blaming the individual.
On that note, we were talking briefly about earlier in the break about the fact that there's a distinctly Victorian kind of feel to this approach to people experiencing poverty, and the idea that it's a moral failing to be homeless or to be experiencing hardship. So could you talk a little bit about why it isn't a moral failure to be on the street?
It's part of how capitalism operates. It's very ingenious in focusing on blaming the individual because of the way the media fails to criticise, the federal government, state government, and local government for their failures in investment in services. You know, they're saying they want to connect people to services. Services turn 300 people away every week.
Not to mention that they want to knock down four. The towers.
Yeah. So it's a very sophisticated, even though it looks fragmented and all these issues are seem isolated. It's a sophisticated campaign to sell off public land and to keep people off public property. Actually, it's taking back they're taking back the common space. It's almost like a neo-feudalism.
Yeah, I agree. I think so too. Do you want to play another one of the voices from the street?
It's like normal people looking for tickets. That was all right. Then they started putting these security fucking things, giving them guns. No, it's like they escalated. You whack a vest on and all of a sudden they're fucking hard. They stole my fucking jackets. You don't touch it. This is like going up to a Hell's Angel taking off his fucking jacket. You know, like, you don't do that shit. It's like they were the kids in school that got picked on, and all of a sudden they got fucking uniforms or some shit, and now they fucking, you go from one area to the next, and then they just pop out of nowhere. It's like, I don't know if they're in communication with each other, but, yeah, they're pushing you further out onto the street, me, 3-4 times a day, and at night too, like, you know. I get it, some people make a mess everywhere, but that's not everyone. You know, I sit somewhere and I got, I clean up after myself, everything. Barely anyone touches my shit, you know? Yeah, they're a problem. For me, personally, they're the problem. I got dropped off. They did a drive-through through that federal police station or whatever, the big one, across the rest of the map. Drive through, then they register, thing goes, nah, because I've already been through. And they drove up, and he was pissed off. So they dropped me off all the way at the fucking Westgate Bridge to walk back. And while my shit was all still left on the street. Two jackets and a Lego Technic thing with a dinosaur and shit like that. That's for my kids. This makes me see red. Female officers. Maybe accompanied by a male or something like that, because females have a calming, basically, if they do. Because people on the streets have got a different constitution, basically, you know? And they don't understand it. You know, it's hard to explain. It's like, yeah. They have not walked. If they gave jobs to us, instead of people that aren't from our communities, then it'd be hell, like, it'd be an instant, like, all we have to do is just say, because we already know each other. Plus, we're out here, like, you know what I mean? We could even have a rotation in shifts, you know? We get a job, like, work a couple of weeks, I'll be working, then the next one, like, you know what I mean? There you go, problem, a lot of...
We're on Solidarity Breakfast with Anila, Annie and Tabia. And in the studio, we've got Spike and Callie from the Homeless Persons Union. And they're talking to us about the issue of the Community Protection Officers, CPO, whatever they call them. I don't know what they're called. But the Melbourne City Council, basically a thinly disguised get rid of homeless people from public spaces in Melbourne City. There's a big lean protest because the Homeless People's Union are very effective at reframing the issue, which is that people are being moved from public spaces, and we're going to lean on the wall in front of town hall to show that, in fact, the public own the public spaces, not the bureaucracy. I was just listening to that, and I was just enraged at the idea of having to drop somebody off miles away from their stuff, so passive aggressive. You know, you can't put your finger on the power that causes someone so much inconvenience. It's just a tragedy, really, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes. I don't know what more to say about that, but we were talking a bit off air about something.
Yeah, I just was interested in, I mean, we hear a lot about people's stories, but also I think it'd be important for listeners to understand just what ways in which people are being moved on or being stopped from, you know, having whatever sleep they can possibly get. I mean, my mum's over here from Perth, and she was saying one of the ways that recently got overturned but was used for a bit was that they were had speakers emitting a sound that was uncomfortable for human hearings to stop people from sleeping under bridges. So like you were saying to that spike was that it's actually torture tactics. And
making it impossible for people to get... So you're in a state of constant hypervigilance. You know, it's like putting broken glass in places where people normally would sleep, or barbed wire, or massive... Or they do it with pot plants to make it look like it's not aggressive. It's actually incredibly aggressive. Putting massive pot plants when people would normally sort of have a kip, and making it just incredibly difficult just to exist. Merely exist. Not doing next level stuff like, you know, finding work and developing community and you know, maintaining relationships, simply to exist. It's turned into an obstacle course.
Where are people supposed to go, in fact? I mean, homelessness exists.
But beyond that, I mean, what you're saying is, like, they're expending an incredible amount of resources in funding all these security officers and putting in all this hostile architecture and all this other stuff, when they could just as easily redirect that money to funding community programs, funding...
Employing people that are homeless or have been homeless to work with homeless community, to, you know, train them to be overdose response workers, to be mental health workers. There's one guy who we spoke to yesterday. He almost, like, I listened to his interview again last night. He almost had me in tears because of the way he summarized the impact of mental health and the, you know, from the perspective of someone on the street. From the perspective of lived experience and someone on the street, he totally knocked it on the head, and I thought, mate, this guy could be an advocate.
And that's what we want to do.
That's exactly
right. With the union. We want to, you know, be able to raise money so that we can have programs where we can lift people up, and they can be the advocates, and we will support them until they don't need to be supported anymore. Right. Like, that's our long-term dream.
Work ourselves out of a job, basically.
Yeah.
Fundamentally, it's a community development project. That's what that's what our union's about. And I think I'm hoping that by playing these interviews and these testimonies, we're able to raise the voice of people who are never ever heard ever. They've always got a worker, some sort of professional academic speaking on their behalf, and so. That's not to criticise professional folks. They need to do what they need to do. But the people, when you listen to what people tell us, the people who are having a lived experience, and you actually give them the time and actually actively listen, you'll hear that they get it.
They have the expertise, not the City of Melbourne bureaucrats, and that's the problem. They don't have those folks in the town hall helping to shape those policies and processes, 100%. And that's why they're not doing what they should be doing.
And a vital role that you guys play is also in shattering the kind of myth-making that the City of Melbourne or other councils do when they talk about, you know, what was the camera program called, Safe Cities or whatever it was called, how they ramped out thousands more cameras. They're used to target, or they're trained to target, the most vulnerable first and then coerce the rest of us that are using the cities. So actually what you do as a twofold role is bring people's voices to spaces like 3CR and other places and give them a place so people can hear them.
And just a quick shout out to all the other fabulous people who are working with this space, like the range of community legal centres across Melbourne who are really strong advocates in this space, or their clients, you know, are experiencing these hardships. And also the other small grassroots community,
Vixen
and Footscray Community Response and Care Not Cruelty in Port Phillip are also working really, really hard. And
not to criticise people, but, you know, services... You know, peak bodies have been silent. They've left the homeless community. They've hung them out to dry, I want to use a cliche here. It's an absolute disgrace that the people who have the resources, who have the time, who have the ear of government, and different forums, aren't speaking up about this stuff, because it's important to understand. It's not just the CSOs. It's different. If you listen to the testimonies, it's people are confused about the different levels of security: PSOs, CSOs, private security that are employed by retailers, cops, and that's what they're having to deal with, and it makes people's lives incredibly difficult.
We can go to one of those last interviews now while we still have time.
Yep. Have you been asked to move on?
Yep, plenty of times. I was asleep, and they told me, they woke me up, and they go, look, you can't sleep here, can you move on? It was after like 7:30 at night, and I was just looking for somewhere to sleep, really. I just had what, more or less like what I got on.
So have you ever had your stuff taken by the city of Melbourne?
Yeah.
Did you get it back?
No. Nah.
Did they tell you that you could get it back?
No, nah, they didn't even tell me that.
Did they leave you a card or something to tell you?
A little, like a business card, something that size.
And did you ever get your stuff back?
Nah, I'm still waiting on it.
So how does that impact you?
I just feel like crap, really.
Did you have ID and stuff?
No, I've had no ID.
Do you think that being moved on should be illegal?
Yeah, because there's nowhere really else to go besides under roof, which is H&M and a couple of other little places.
So it's really tough to find shelter, right?
Yeah, too tough, yeah.
What would you like people to know, the council? What would you like the council to know about what it's like to be homeless?
Well, how hard it is. And it's not easy to get stuff and, like, get clothes and blankets and all that in one go.
Are you on unemployment benefits?
Just job seeker at the moment.
Job seeker. How hard is it to survive on that?
Yeah, it's pretty hard. Because I've got, there's me, and then I've got my five kids, so...
Is there anything else you'd like the council to know about what it's like to be homeless and be moved on?
Go out and spend the night on the street, see how they feel.
And we're coming to an end now. Thanks for coming in, Kelly and Spike. But can you give our listeners a roundup of the event, the Big Lean, and also the fact that there's a council meeting after it?
Yeah, so we're going to start rocking up this coming Tuesday from 4:30 p.m. We're going to have DJ me and Marcel spinning tunes, creating a powerful community vibe. So you're welcome to start rocking in from then. And then at 5 o'clock, we're going to have a few short speeches from the HPUV, from Vixen, from Footscray Community Response, and we'll have a short open mic. So people are welcome to get up and speak to community then. At 5:30, we're actually going to have the Big Lean, so we want everybody to... set themselves upon the town hall. We'll snake around the building. We'll have a great photographer there. We'll have the tunes playing. Bring a sign, bring a friend, bring a co-worker. Just come and be there. And then from 5:45 p.m. thereabouts, we'll head into the City of Melbourne meeting where they're going to be discussing. Well, they're actually not going to be discussing. They want to hear from you, your views on their idea to expand the Community Safety Officer program. So, yeah, please come. We'd love to see you there.
Please come and show your opposition to this crazy program and show your solidarity with the city's unhoused community.
Thank you very much, and we'll see you there.